recently. Nadia is a postdoc fellow in cancer immunology at the MUHC, and we'll talk a bit about her experiences. Sylvie Fafard is from Ottawa, from DFATE, and we'll talk about some of the experiences and the recommendations of the Canadian government for Canadians traveling abroad. And then Pierre Pauthelier is how it's pronounced with that hyphen. The hyphen's wrong. It's Pierre Pauthelier. Is a physician. I'm a doctor. He's a physician. We had a long argument about that. He is a useful physician and will tell you about some of the health safety issues going outside of Montreal. Not just Toronto, but indeed further outside of Montreal. So I just want to talk to you for a minute or two. I'll show you a picture if I might be so bold. May I be that bold? Okay, you have no choice. So this is a picture taken in the Genghis Khan Museum a couple hours out of Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, where a couple of our alumni, he's actually a dermatologist in Vancouver, and Sophie works for Cohen Wolf here in Montreal. On a recent trip we did 44 McGill students and alumni to Mongolia and Seoul. So we dressed up, not well, as you can see. It wasn't all that scary, the whole Mongolian thing, is it? Looking at that picture, you wonder how they conquered most of the known world, but they were scarier back in the day. And I just want to talk for a moment about some of the experiences we've had in the Hot Cities of the World Tour. The slogan of the trip is taking the future young people to where the world economy is going. We've been to Israel, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, India, South Africa, Russia, and this year Mongolia and Seoul. And I just want to tell you a couple stories, because I am jealous that you get to go spend months outside of Montreal, outside of Canada. It is a marvelous opportunity. So it takes me back to when we were in Mongolia, and we went there and spent a day in Ulaanbaatar in the Gur camps. The Gurs are tents. It was about minus 35, minus 40, so colder than Montreal. Not entirely sure why we chose to go there, but we did. And a couple years ago, of their 45 million livestock, they have 3 million people, 45 million livestock, about 12 million died, and so a number of the shepherders and so on moved with their families to live in tents in the suburbs of Ulaanbaatar. And there's a Canadian woman there from Vancouver that set up a school that teaches 3- and 4-year-olds and 5- and 6-year-olds of the parents, children of the parents, who go to the garbage dump every day to gather garbage 8-10 hours a day and make about $6 or $7 US. So we went to the school and we played with children, and it's just beautiful 3- or 4-year-olds. You've probably seen them, not at McGill, but you've seen small children. You maybe babysat them in an earlier life. And we had a great pleasure. Then we walked out to the dumps, and it was probably the most horrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm old. What it was as we got there is the garbage heap, it's minus 35, and what you have is it's smoke, full of smoke as it's on fire across the garbage dumps. As we get there, we stand out. They've never had tourists before, as far as we know. And so 40 of us show up, and behind me, I didn't know that, but a car had arrived which brings food every day for the people working there. And so as soon as we arrive, hundreds of people start walking towards us, and they're covered with dirt as they work in the dumps all day. It smells terrible. The smoke is rising behind them, and it's like an apocalyptic movie. Hundreds of people start walking towards me. And I'm slightly afraid because I don't know what's going on here. Then I realized it was the food behind me, because there wasn't enough food for everyone. So as soon as it comes, you start walking. You drop whatever you're doing. You start walking to where the food is, because it's the right thing to do. And you sit there, and it was the most horrifying thing. I remember on the bus as we left, 42 McGill students, 30 undergraduates and alumni, we never stopped talking. But when we got on the bus, it was utter silence. As one student put it, we all had a 1,000-yard stare, because we had seen the most difficult thing we'd ever seen in our lives. It was worse than the slums we visited in Mumbai. And so we realized is how blessed we are to be living in Canada. What really struck us, and we heard this again and again in all the country we visited, what a great country Canada is. We met with a senator in the Korean parliament, in parliament, and she's the woman responsible for women's issues, and it was the day of Women's Day worldwide, and for public health, and she said, Canada is one of the leaders in the world for women's issues. And I was sitting beside her, and I kind of went, I'm not entirely sure we're that good, since I live here. But we get those kind of compliments, how wonderful it is in this great country of ours. For our faults, it's a great place. The other thing struck me is how alike we are. Because as we were in the dumps there, we started talking to some of the parents. And we talked to a couple that we had translators, and they were there in the garbage dumps going to work to feed their kids. And that's what my wife and I do. We go to work to feed and provide for our kids. So I felt that bond that they are just parents doing the best they can in very difficult circumstance. But that's what we do back here in Canada. And as we were leaving, a couple young men started fighting. So we wondered about violence here in the garbage heaps, Ulaanbaatar. But after a minute or two, they stopped wrestling, and they punched each other as young men might do who had been wrestling, and laughed. And I saw the commonality of just young men wrestling, having fun, playing. And I realized how much we have in common, that their parents trying to support their kids. There's a community, there's laughter, there's joy in the most horrific circumstance I've ever seen in my life. So, I mean, hopefully what you won't see won't rival that. But when we go overseas, we often see things which are very different than the world we live in. We see the differences, but we also see the commonality. The differences came out when we went to visit some of the companies. In South Korea, they're so efficient, it's unbelievable. We'd go into a restaurant, and within 10 minutes, everybody would have all their food served. Every single person. Incredible efficiency. They also wanted you to leave as soon as you had your food eaten, because they're very efficient. And they're waiting for the next person to come along. You have a wonderful opportunity also to build relationships which are different, because when we travel, we get to do things and be together and be with people in a way which is outside of your roots, outside your normal set of friends, and really open yourself to meet different people and experience different things. One of my favorite stories with Emma, one of the students from Toronto, that came on the trip. So we're in South Africa. We've been up all night flying to Munich, stayed in Munich all day, flew all night. So we'd fly two nights in a row. Then we get in a small plane and fly to go to safari. And it's really cool because they buzz the landing strip because there's elephants on it. And small plane and elephants, not a happy thought if they run into each other. So we get there. We've been up 40 hours. Emma's about 19, 20 at the peak of health. It's hard to believe, but you are. And we get there and we finally see the tents we're going to sleep in. And then the cry goes up, lions! And we look at each other and go, lions. Now I'm thinking to myself as an older person, they'll be there tomorrow. It's Africa. They live here. But we get, say, we'll get in the jeeps. So we get in the jeeps, and we're going out there into the bush. It's not jungle, it's bush. The grasslands. As we get out there, we get stuck in the mud. So I say to the guy, Trevor, I've been on safari before, I say, hey, Trevor, would you like us to get out and push the jeep? And he goes, that would be very nice of you. So we get out there, the six of us outside the jeep, and Emma's there beside me. She's about this tall. And she works for me, so I know her, and I say, Emma, I'm too big for dinner, but you're just the right size. And the lions are over there where this guy is, and their tails are moving back and forth. Because I have cats, it's pre-hunting behavior. And who's the prey and who's the hunter switches around. And Emma laughs, I thought nervously, but like in a half second, we're back in the jeep. See, what it is when you're traveling, you're with people, you develop wonderful relationships, that you get to have something outside of your normal life here at McGill. So I think you're going to have a wonderful time, and I really encourage you to think about how blessed we are to be in Canada in our better moments. Think about how are we the same as human beings worldwide? What do we have in common with every man, woman, and child in the world? But also think about what's different. Where how you're different, how you react because of what you are, how different they are. I lived in England 5 years, and I realized at times I wasn't walking, I was walking out of step, not them. I was different. And then finally, enjoy building wonderful relationships because of just the sheer fun of what you're doing. So we'll turn it over now to, that's me. Turn it over to, we're supposed to put that on just for like 10 seconds. So I'll turn it over to Nadia now to talk about some of her experiences.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nadia Albana. I'm Egyptian. I'm a postdoctoral fellow, which means I don't know much about traveling, except that I've done it 7 years ago and decided to come to Canada to do my studies and to work. And here you go. And I'm here because I wanted to send a message, and I think you'll get it at the end of the talk. But most importantly, I'd like you to know why are you here, right? I know you have to, but why are you actually really here? You're here because you're leaving, you're getting to a different experience, you're going to a different country, and there's a lot to think about when you're doing that. So let's talk about it. So before we start, if you haven't signed in, make sure you do before you leave. And PowerPoint slides will be available on that website, right? What we're going to actually do is we're going to have a little bit of self-reflection. We'll talk about things that we think of. And we'll have really good advice from this safe travel and information on the consular services. We'll have a bit of a checklist, what to do, what are we concerned about before we leave, what do we really have to do. But then we'll talk about some health concerns and finally challenges about what you're going to do with your new country. Things that we will not do, okay? We've had some feedback from last year's session, and there were so many wonderful feedback, and we actually do read them. But there are things that are kind of challenging to do. So you can read, you're probably all reading the quote, you know, giving general info and specific info at the same time is kind of tricky. Or the second quote, you know, specifics about traveling to the countries and specifics about placements within those countries. As much as I'd like to do that, I'd like for us to be able to provide that, but every one of us is different. Everyone's going to a different place. Everyone has specific goals. So everyone has their own thing. But there's one thing in common. There's safety issues. There's something that we're worried about. Traveling, there are certain common things that we're going to talk about during this orientation. Where are we going? We're all in this red box. I'm not sure if I could point to it, but we're all in this red little box. And during this year, we're going to be all over the world. We're going to be everywhere, okay? Every single continent, I think. We're going to be on every single continent. So that is amazing. And it shows you how many of us have specific needs, right? Everyone has their specific country, city. Some of us are going for university. Some of us are going for a job. Some of us are just going to go have fun while we're doing all that. So I'll give you 2 minutes, maybe even less. I'll give you 1 minute. Okay, you're gonna do some homework. Why are you really leaving? Okay, don't tell me because I have to study, and don't tell me because I have to, or someone told me to. What is your real motive for leaving? I'm not gonna ask you, but you really need to think about it, and I'll give you 1 minute. So let's start. I'll give them 30 seconds. There we go. Okay, guys. Hello, hello? Hello, hello? Yes, yes? Hopefully, yes, that was not 2 minutes. I had to cut down, and I kind of sensed we were all thinking about it out loud. So a really good sign for us talking. So the way I think about it is, and we're going to do this little mini exercise. So some of us will be traveling because they want to learn a new language. You want to get immersed in a language. If you want to do Spanish, you go to Spain, and you really learn the language when you have to go to somewhere where nature takes place. If you want to make new friends, you'll definitely do that when you're on your travels. You might get some new perspectives. You'll see something from a different perspective. And some of the stories that you heard from Carl just a minute ago kind of gives you that hint, right? And maybe you'll do it because it's just one of a lifetime experience. You'll never be able to do that ever again. Maybe you just have that one opportunity and you have to take it. Right? So how many of us have had those reasons in our minds when we said we're going to leave? Okay, I see some hands are not up yet, so I'm going to try with some more. And those reasons are actually, just to let you know, those are reasons of the reported from some of the Canadian students that came back, I think, last year from different universities. So let me try some more reasons. Maybe because it looks good on your CV. If you want to find a new job, maybe it's a good idea to say I've traveled abroad. Maybe you're going to learn something. I definitely did. I came 7 years ago, and I learned a lot. You grow, and not just in height, for those of us who don't get taller, but you do personally grow. What do you learn? You might be a little bit more flexible. you might be more creative. You might get stuck in situations and got to think on your feet. You really got to get that innovation thing going. So how many of us so far have, how many of those reasons have been amongst us here? Okay. Did I catch everyone? No, I still have some more. Okay, so I'm going to try. You'll definitely get an expanded worldview. You'll see things from different perspectives. You'll be living with people in different languages, cultures. You might see things a little differently. You'll definitely be an ambassador. I'll tell you that for sure. You will be the one and only source for Canadian culture. You'll be maybe the only Canadian that they've heard about or seen. They'll be the one, you'll be the one where people will say, oh, I know, I had a Canadian friend, she was on exchange or he was on exchange. You'll be that person who they ask for all the culture, the music. Do you really have that in Canada? Is it all about beer and hockey and ice? Because that's what I thought when I first came here. So you will be their source of info. They won't know anything. Maybe they'll know something about Montreal. But you will be that face for McGill. You'll be that face for Montreal. So you've got a lot on your shoulders. And you'll realize bit by bit that you're kind of a global citizen, i.e. you'll be interested in so many different cultures, so many different countries. You're still from Canada, you're still from Montreal. But there's something's going to click, and you'll become more interested in world issues. Did I catch everyone's reasons? Show of hands really quickly, quickly. How many of us? Oh my gosh, okay, there are a couple of us. Did anyone not have their hands up during the reasons? I just want to know one person who did not have their hands up for all these reasons. I'd be really interested to know. Hey, I got them all. Super. Okay, so before I go any further, I'm going to send this over to Sylvia Farfar, who's going to tell us all about how to travel safely, and that's super important.
Hi, everyone. Bonjour, tout le monde. Nadia just reminded me of my first study abroad travel. I was 15 and I went for 6 weeks to Spain to study the language. But imagine, we were 250 students, high school students, 15, 16, 17 years old, spending 6 weeks together in Spain. So all I can say is that everything that could potentially happen did happen. And even more, so that's why I'm so glad to be here for this orientation session. Yeah, that was my first and my last trip with a large group, believe me. Okay, but I'm here to talk about Canadian Consular Services, so I'll tell you about who we are, what we do here in Canada and around the world. And in the second part of the presentation, I'll tell you about all the tools that are there for you. They're free, they're all available to help you prepare for safe and successful travel. So you'll know all about it. And you might have a few homework to do after that. If something is not clear during the presentation, just let me know. Otherwise, I'll take questions at the end of the presentations. Like, I'll stay here in the room, and I'll be happy to answer any specific questions or concerns, okay? So, just very quickly, two stats I thought you would like to know. Well, I'm sure you know Canadians love to travel, but look at that. In 2011, or 12, oh, I had 12 at home, okay. 59 million trips abroad, and the year after, it went to 66 million trips abroad. So when you consider the population in Canada, it's quite amazing. And as we speak, there are now, it's still 2.8 million Canadians who live outside Canada. So this is more than the total population of all the Atlantic provinces. So it's like Canada has a province somewhere around the world with these 2.8 million Canadians working, living, studying abroad. And very soon you will be part of these stats, for sure. Well, consular services, what's our mandate? The first part is what we call preparation or prevention. We help Canadians prepare for safe travel by providing up-to-date and double-checked information on more than 225 countries around the world. I've checked the countries where you're going, and believe me, you will find a country travel report for your destination. We also provide emergency assistance to Canadians in foreign countries, and also routine services like renewing a passport, for example. Foreign Affairs also got the mandate to coordinate the Government of Canada emergencies response to international crisis. Like, for example, we did coordinate the evacuation when there was this major earthquake in Haiti, like a few years ago. I'm sure you do remember that. This is just here a very short list of the services we can provide you when you will be abroad. The complete list is available in our booklet called Bon Voyage But, so, and I'll show you how to get to that publication. Like I mentioned, we can replace a lost, stolen, damaged passport. By the way, is anybody going to Spain? Okay. Remember something, it's that Spain has the highest number of lost or stolen passports in the whole world. Okay? Good to know. And it's been going on for years and years. These guys are like magicians. You don't even see it. So putting your passport in a backpack is not a good idea at all. The only way I think you can, get over that situation is by putting your passport in a money belt inside your T-shirt. That's probably the only way you can do it. Okay, so remember that. But that's also advice for all of you guys, even if you're not going to Spain. We can provide you with a list of local doctors who speak English or French, a list of recommended clinics and or hospitals. So if you need any of these information, just contact the embassy and we'll be happy to provide you with this information. There are things we cannot do. Well, basically what happens is that the minute you enter a foreign country, you become subject to its local laws, its local regulations and customs. So forget about the Canadian justice system, no more. And it's mostly the same thing for us, Canadian consular officers who work abroad. So the more you'll know about the local laws and customs, the better for you and the better for us as well. The fact is that if for any reasons you would be detained or imprisoned in the country where you're going, I know it won't happen, but let's pretend it does. You are entitled, according to the Vienna Convention, to ask for a phone call. So don't wait until they bring you the phone and say, hey, would you like to call someone? They won't. But you are entitled to it. So you ask for it, and then you call the consular officer that's in the closest embassy or consulates where you are. And then we can, in turn, according to that same Vienna Convention, have a request to have access to you, and then make sure that you are treated fairly, but again, according to the local laws. We cannot ask for any special treatment. But there's one thing we do check all the time is that in many countries, in detention centers and even in hospitals, if you don't pay, you don't get water, you don't get food, and you don't get medications if needed. So we make sure that the person gets at least these three basic needs. But there isn't much more we can do. So the more you'll learn, like I said, about the local laws, the better. And I'll show you where to find good and useful information for your specific destinations. That takes us to the second part of the presentation, which covers what we call the three R's of international travel. There's the read, the register, and reach us. So we'll go one by one. Read up would be read our travel.gc.ca website. Does anybody know the website or has used it? Not many of you. So this is your homework for tonight. Check the travel.gc.ca website. This is a one-stop shop with all kind of information you'll need for travel. On the homepage, we ask you, where do you want to go? And then click on your destination country, and you'll get a travel report, like this one you see on the slide for Mexico. That's an example. And you'll always, for every country, get these seven very detailed section where we'll talk about the security, entry-exit requirements for the country, health information, laws and culture. So this is your source of information. Disasters and climate. And in the last section, you'll find the contact information for the Canadian embassies and consulates. Sometimes you may wonder why there's some type of information. Like Mexico is a good example. We talk about the balconies in Mexico, and you may wonder why on earth is the government of Canada talking about balconies in Mexico. There's always background story for any information that's in the report. In this case, we had many, many cases of Canadians who fell from their hotel balconies, second, third, fourth floor. There's two reasons for that. One reason is mentioned in the report, the other is not, but I'll tell you what it is. You'll get the scoop. The first reason is that the balconies are, how do you call these, the railings, the railings are much lower in Mexico than they are here in Canada. So if you're 6 feet two, that might be a problem, that might be dangerous. The other reason, which is not indicated in the report, is that it's called tequila. I'm sure you've heard about that. And that's the other reason. And the worst thing is that when this happened, and these Canadians call their insurance company, they won't cover them because they'll get the report that they were drunk, totally drunk, and the insurance company won't pay. And no, I don't know of any insurance company that will pay if you become, in a way, responsible for your accident. So that's just an example of what you'll find, but you can always tell your friends, anyone going to Mexico, that you have a good story for them. Some of the reports include a travel advisory. These are official recommendations from the government of Canada. And they're also, they represent a risk assessment of the country. So those countries you see in green, they simply mean that you should, you know, exercise normal security precautions like you would do here. So if you're going to Austria or Switzerland and these countries, this is probably in the green zone. The other level, level two, is ask you to be a bit more cautious, and they will, the report will tell you why. So anybody going to Brazil, China, check the travel report, and you'll know why this has been assessed as a level two. Level three has regional, these are the ones in yellow, they have what we call regional advisories. So that means that there are specific regions in the country where you should simply not go. And so I have a list here among the countries where you might be going, where there are regional advisories. There's Japan, China, Poland, Israel, Russia, Israel, Mexico. And these are just examples where you do have regional advisories. And so we'll tell you what are the areas you should be avoiding. Make sure you don't go there. If you do and something happens, your insurance will not cover you because they'll say you were supposed to go and check it out if there was an advisory, and we won't be able to help you either because we won't have access to these areas. We're not in these areas where we tell people not to go, obviously. And the highest level is these countries in red, so they're mostly in Africa and in, there's some like Afghanistan and some countries like that where you should absolutely not go for the moment, at least. Register. This is a service we have. Please register. You can do it from our website or travel.gc.ca or from our app. I'll give you the address. So basically, let's say you're going to Thailand. You're telling the embassy by registering that you will be in the country from such and such a date, and you give your contact information as well as contact information for your parents at home or friends, family, you would like us to call if anything happened. So this way, so when something happens like an earthquake like we had in Chile last week, the first thing we do is we look at the registry and we ask ourselves, do we have Canadians in that area? The only way we have to know is by using this registry. Otherwise, we won't know you're in the region or in the country. So please register. Yes? No, you would. If you're not Canadian, then you would have to check with your country, with your consular services, to make sure that you could register with them. Yeah, good question. No. Yeah. Okay. We do have more than 260 offices in 150 countries. These offices are embassies, consulates, and high commissions. So these are, and then at home here in Canada, in Ottawa, we do have an emergency center. This is the number where you can call 24/7 if you ever need assistance. And in most countries, the phone system would allow you to make collect calls. And there's also an SOS email address. So if something happens and it's after hours, the embassy is closed, call there directly, and there's always a consular officer to take the calls. If there was one thing I would like you to remember from this presentation is that make sure you have, there's many things, but make sure you have proper travel health insurance. We've seen too many people getting in the worst financial situations because they didn't have travel health insurance. If you plan to do some extreme sports or go on adventure activities, also please tell your insurance company that you will do so. Okay? And if you take any medication, tell the truth. I'm telling you, they will know anyways, and they will know very quickly, so tell the truth when you fill these applications. Stay connected. Things change every day. Like, we do a monitoring of the news 24/7. What we say about your destination country today might change tomorrow. Same thing with the regional advisories. So check it out. You can stay connected with Facebook. We're on Twitter, Foursquare, or by email subscriptions or RSS feeds. So there's no reason that you should not stay connected. And we have this Travel Smart app, which is travel.gc.ca mobile. So and you could also register through this mobile app. I think through the McGill Abroad, is that the name of the... You will? Okay. You will have access to our travel publications. And we have a new one, which is only online now. And it's called Living Abroad. And I think that will be very, very interesting for you. So check it out, Living Abroad plus Bon Voyage Bud and all the others. If you need any further information, give us a call, send us an email. Plus, if you would like to provide us with feedback or tell us about something you saw, your experience, and you think it should be in the country travel report, let us know. Last but not least, have a great time. I mean, enjoy. And I know from on my part that this study abroad I did when I was 15 years old changed my life for the better, and I just hope it does the same for you. So, prenez soin de vous. Take good care. Thank you. Merci.
Okay, guys, so I'll tell you one thing. You guys are super, super lucky to get that sort of info. Tell me why. When I traveled, I'm Egyptian, so when I traveled, I didn't have any sort of advice. In fact, I only had two landmarks. I told my parents, guys, I want to study and blah, 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 and okay, fine, don't have money, find your scholarship, all went through. I had two landmarks. Dad said, go to a place where you want to learn about the culture. Get immersed in the culture, be adventurous, do whatever you want. And if there's whatever mistake you do, it's not the end of the universe, right? Mom's landmark was, be safe and call us, okay? And that's all I got, okay? And that is it. I had no sort of information. So you guys are super, super lucky to have some sort of information. Obviously, the information applies 100% to Canadians, of whatever was said, but at the same time, if you're not a Canadian, register in your own consulate office. That's the word. It's not the end of the universe. So, checklist. When you get there, whatever kind of city you need to go through, checklist. You must be worried about stuff, I imagine. So, first thing is, I'm going to walk through a little bit of that stuff, and if you have questions, tell me at the end, shout it out. We're going to talk about travel documents, health insurance, how to deal with academic issues, money issues, and emergency plans. So first thing is travel documents. All of us have passports, we hope, yes? And passports are valid pieces of identity. If you go and show them your ID, no one is going to even understand what's on the Canadian ID. They need a passport. And keep it handy. I'm going to say a little anecdote. Just because I'm really super aware of the passport thing. First time ever that I came here, I had the passport on me, like physically on me, in my pocket. Even though it was a long flight from Egypt to wherever I was supposed to go, like a 12-hour flight. So you put your luggage up and whatever you're supposed to. I didn't even trust that luggage piece up there. So I had taken my passport in one pocket and the medications in the other pocket. And I thought, if something happens and I have to jump off the airplane, they won't let me get that luggage, but I'll have my passport and my medications on me. So that's how close you need to think about your passports, okay? There are Asian stories from people who've traveled, long, long ago, and how they really kept their travel documents safe, i.e. the passport, to the point that they taped it on them. Okay? They carried them carried them under their blouses and, places that are bizarre. But passports stick on you. That's just make sure you have that on your hand. And register for local consulates. So for myself, yes, I'm not a Canadian, I'm not a PR, I'm not a permanent resident, but I registered for my Egyptian consulate, right? And the same information applies. A travel advisory, get the info. It's not a bad idea to check the websites and know what you're going through. Travel advisory is kind of a source of danger, so you better just realize what you're going through anyways. Second thing, travel insurance. You are responsible for your insurance. You see how big this font is? Where do you get the information? So you can get information. There's all those websites and links where you can get the information, whether you're an international student, you want to get info from Quebec or Canada's travel insurance. Stay connected and get the info that you need. I'll briefly remind us of really super important stuff. So make sure your policy includes emergency health coverage, evacuation coverage, travel insurance, trip cancellations. Just make sure you're really covered. There's a whole list of things that you want to check out. I am not going to read that list, but you can go through it yourself. But, kind of logically, make sure that you have some sort of benefits, emergency situations, prescriptions. If you need to evacuate the country, that you have some sort of coverage. Emergency dental care, just make sure that you're covered, okay? Things that are not included, so limitations, restrictions, travel warnings, and advisory, i.e., these are two quotes that are super, super important. I will not read them, but you will read them, hopefully. The idea is, on the first one there, travel advisory, if Canada, says that the country is dangerous, it's a good idea to take their note, right? It's just a good idea to watch it, and no one's going to be able to physically help you, like just like Sylvia was kind enough to tell us, to remind us. No one's going to be able to help you if there's a danger area that you're in, right? If they told you before you travel, you are responsible for yourself at this point. So this is super, super important. Second thing, you know, participation in voluntary exposure to any risk or, you know, don't get into trouble, okay? If you're not in Canada, you're not a citizen of that country, be aware that you have limited access to citizenship rights, right? As a non-Canadian, I do not vote, I do not go on protests, I do not march, I do not do any sort of anything because, you know, anything that I'm not allowed to do as a citizen, I do not do, right? You have to just be aware that you are on a visitor or temporary status, and that it will matter at the end. So don't put yourself in a place where it gets unhappy. Okay. There we go. So again, travel advisories. Make sure you have them in mind. McGill's International Mobility Guidelines, make sure that this is talking about more academic stuff, obviously. So the activities approved by our academic unit that you are here, hopefully you're still here, right? We still have some people physically in the room. Sufficient travel insurance and completion of Minerva Travel Registry. I'll just make sure that you go through that and actually fill those forms. Regarding travel advisories, again, the university will not approve, just like make common sense, will not approve traveling to places that are unsafe, right? And you can see here the four risk levels of, you know, whether you exercise normal security precautions all the way to avoid all travel. So this is serious. Hopefully it's been repeated enough times on enough slides to indicate that it's pretty serious. Make sure that you know how safe the country is, okay? Even, let me put it this way. I'm Egyptian, and now when I go back to my own country, Egypt, I check the travel advisories. That's how serious this is. Minerva Travel Registry is kind of really simple form, and make sure you fill it. Why? Because if there's ever an emergency and we can't reach you, we need to know who's where. We need to know where are you, all the information. Otherwise, you know, even McGill won't be able to help you, right? No one. You'll be by yourself. We need to know where you are. Also, there's a student acceptance form. So at the end, there's kind of an acknowledgement and consent form that you really have to sign. It looks something like this, okay? Then the corner there at the end, you know, signed by the date, name, signature. That's kind of important. Read it and sign it, please. Did I miss anything else? Okay. Academic stuff. It would be really a bad idea to go to a place and spend, I don't know, 6 months or a year and then realize that, oops, credit doesn't count. It's not a good idea. So academic stuff, you really need to make sure that you can transfer the credit of the course that you're studying, right? So check with your faculty that it approves the credit and it can transfer it. And we've got a link here for the McGill course equivalency database, so make sure you check that out. Money matters. Anyone having money concerns at this point? Yeah, money matters. Like, money is important. So make sure you have a budget, right? Make sure you have a plan for emergencies in money-wise. Make sure that dollars, Canadian dollars, are not applicable everywhere. If you've been to Europe, you might realize that. But if you've been to other parts of the world, you might even be shocked that people won't know what a Canadian dollar looks like. So make sure you know your currency of that place. And contact your bank or credit card company. So I'm not sure how many of us know that, but when you do travel, let's say you don't have cash on you. God forbid you ever need any cash. But let's say you don't have any cash on you, and all you have is a few debit cards and credit cards, and you're like, oops, I'll just go to an ATM machine and put this card and get some cash. If you don't tell your bank or your Visa or your MasterCard or your American Express that you're going to, I don't know where, Egypt, or you're going to Brazil, they will not allow the card to go through. You'll get a decline on every single card that you go through. So unless you tell your banks ahead of time that, guys, by the way, I'm going to go from this date to that date through those cities, if you get stuck on the way in a flight from here to wherever you're going, that city, that transit city, you need to tell them, by the way, I'm going to be flying through this city. Okay, if you ever need to use that credit card in that city, or if there's a flight emergency you need to get some cash, you need that card to actually work. Otherwise, it's going to be a piece of plastic. It will be worth nothing. You'll have nothing on you. So make sure you actually call them. They know my name really well now because I call them every time, twice and three times to just check that they actually have the information. Which reminds me of emergency planning. So be prepared. The only thing that I had to do when my parents didn't really give me any kind of information, I checked those things. So I checked for where is the nearest hospital? Where is the nearest police station? Where is my consular service, you know, embassy? And how do I get insured? I think that was the first thing that I did the moment I stepped in the country. But it would have been really nice to get that information before because it was a hassle when I tried to get the information afterwards. So make sure that you have, regarding insurance, make sure that you know what your insurance needs in order for you to get the money back, right? So if they need invoices, make sure you get that. If they need details, you know, details of your insurance policy, have that with you. It's a little piece of paper. You might feel like it's taking a lot of space, but it will be very useful when that time comes when you need it. And know what do you actually need to do to make sure that you get the insurance coverage. Okay? Seems simple, but when you're there, it will be worth $1 million. And make a plan. Plan. So make sure you have a first plan, a second plan. If something happens, who do I call? If that person is sick or is not available, who do I call? If I have to leave the country, how do I do it? How much money do I have? Who do I call? Just make sure you have a trillion plans. I go all the way to C, like A, B, C, D probably would be my limit, like backup plans, worst case scenarios. Make sure you plan for everything. Paperwork. I mean, this is a list of paperwork, right? Obviously, a passport would be kind of important. A forward copy of all the visas as work permits. If you have work permits or temporary permits or whatever, have them physically on you, like not even in a bag, not even in a purse, for those of us who carry purses. Physically on you. Because if you know your purse goes away, you've lost everything, whatever was in there. A copy of your emergency plan, emergency contacts, flight details, right? Kind of the information that you'll need on spot if you have nobody and you need to leave right now. And obviously write these numbers down. Don't really write them right now down because you'll have that presentation. But at least make sure you have those numbers with you when you're there and you can collect the call. The one thing that my mom said to me, stay connected, call back, that was the best thing that was ever told to me because stay connected really was a good support system. Whenever I got stuck, whenever I just needed someone that speaks my language because I felt everyone else was speaking a different language, stay connected is a good idea. So we've got obviously family and friends. Make sure you call them and tell them your number and call them on a regular basis so they can realize when you're in trouble. And we have a Facebook group. We, as in you guys, have a Facebook group. Okay? The groups of students going to certain countries, we've created the Facebook group so that you can talk to the individuals going to that country. Okay? So people who are all going to one country are connected in a group. If you need help, you can still talk to them and chat away. Make sure you use that. And I would be really, one of the things that I was concerned about was my health. So thank you so much in advance for telling me about my health concerns. Dr. Paul. Thank you.
Thank you. She's like the Energizer Bunny, isn't she? You're tiring to just watch. So we're going to talk about health today. Hi to the medical students. I used to worked in that building. And when I was working in that building, much like you, I looked down at the lower campus and said, poo, poo, poo. I'm going to stay up here. And I guess the custom continues. But this applies to you too. So we're going to talk about health today. Usually I tell you because I tell a little bit because everybody that seems to speak here is an expert. And I'm an expert as traveling as well. I've done a lot of traveling. For example, next week I'm going to Mississauga. That's a very exotic country. But last year I went to Istanbul. And I did everything you told me. I went to this... To the talk, because I went to Istanbul during the time that they were having the demonstrations. And I thought, yeah, they're having demonstrations, but I want to go anyways because I want to go shop. Well, I also had two papers to present, but I wanted to go shop. And so I went anyways. And it's true, you register and they send you little emails from the country. But I did one better than all that. Yeah. Well, because... There was one of my former students who used to work, we have students who work in the clinic, and I keep touch with quite a few of them because quite a few of them are kind of funky and fun and I like them. And so, but this one I'd lost for a little bit when he sort of decided he was going to go to China. And he was all excited because I'd been to China just before he went to China and he wanted to know about China, and so we talked a lot. And I lost track of him. And we made contact while I was in Istanbul by complete fluke through Facebook, because one of the other students said, "Oh, so and so is in Istanbul." So I Facebooked him and I found him, and I said, "Oh, how are you doing?" And he said, "Fine." So he said, "Do you want to come for dinner?" I said, "Sure." I said, "Wait till my conference is over and I'll come to dinner." So I walk into the restaurant, and you know, there's this student who's looking a little older, but still looking like the student that I knew. And I said, "How are you? What are you doing in Istanbul?" He says, "Well, I'm the consular general for Turkey, for Canada in Turkey." And I thought, there you go. I'm fixed. I don't have to worry about anything. So that's you may not have that kind of protection, but it is very useful to have. So the things that we're going to talk about it, is, first of all, getting ready to leave. And some of you and many of you will have to get a form filled. There's usually a physical, and that represents a form. You should also get the vaccines, and we'll talk about a bit about that, and medications that you might want to bring or might want to carry, or your own medications and what to do with them, and then a medical kit to sort of get ready, especially if you're going to places where it might be a little bit more remote. It might be wise to bring some stuff with you. So, getting a physical. Well, often it'll be required, as I mentioned. It's a form. And as a physician, let me tell you, we hate those forms. So if you're coming along with one of those forms, first of all, you will not be welcomed in the office. We'll turn you right off. But nonetheless, we have to fill the form so we get the information. The other thing is that your insurance policies, no matter which and where you're from, so whether you are from Ontario, whether you're from Quebec, whether you're from wherever that other student is that needed to contact their own consulate, and you have Blue Cross, doesn't cover it. So you'll have to pay for your physical. And if you go to some doctor somewhere, you might also have to pay to have the form filled. So it is, you might want to think about coming to Student Health, because we give you a real deal, and it's really cheap to have it done. I'm not advertising where I work, but it's a good idea. But you should get an appointment early, as you know, whether it is to come and see us, and we know it's difficult to get an appointment, and we know you need to call on the 15, and you stay on the line. We know all of that. You don't need to tell me. We know it. But if you want to go see some outside doctor, you may also need an appointment a little bit ahead of time. But remember, it's not a priority for anyone else except you. So plan ahead. The week before will not do it. Vaccines. Again, that depends very much on the country where you're going. And each country has their own requirements depending on what's happening in that country point of view of health issues. Even going to the United States or Mississauga, for that matter, is important to be vaccinated, basically because I might injure myself and I have to make sure that my tetanus is up to date. So no matter where you go, you should check for your vaccines first and make sure they're updated. You should all have a little book. If you can't figure out, can't read it, come and see one of our nurses and they'll explain it to you. We do run a travel clinic on campus, and we will provide everything except for Japanese encephalitis and rabies, which I don't quite know why we don't give rabies, because there's some really nasty people on campus, but there you go. And we provide it at cost, and again, remember, book ahead of time. It's not a priority for us. It is for you. And so you should come ahead and make an appointment. Also, for those of you who are undergrad, remember, if you are on the ASEC plan, there's $300 worth of free vaccine, essentially a year, that you can get. So you get your receipt and you claim it. So it will cover most of those vaccines if you need them. So make sure that that's the wise things. Medication that you should get, first of all, it's always a good idea to get medication for traveler's diarrhea, because it's a very common thing. Every time I go away, I get traveler's diarrhea. I think it's in my head. It happens. Well, I guess it's not in my head, but it's somewhere else, but starts in my head. And so you should, there is a vaccine that exists. It's not bad. It's not the best in the world, but it's not a bad vaccine. So you might want to get that, but again, you got to plan ahead, not the day before you leave. You may want to use Pepto-Bismol, which you can take. Remember, however, that Pepto-Bismol will turn your stool black, your tongue black, and if you don't know that, that might be a little concerning. Imodium is something that stops things, but if you're having blood in your stool, you may not want it. You should not take Imodium. And then, of course, there's antibiotics, and we'll give you a prescription to buy the stuff ahead of time. Other things that you might want to bring are things like hydrocortisone cream that you can buy over the counter for rashes and stuff, antihistamines if you have allergies, but even if you don't, just in case you can encounter something that you might be allergic to. Just today in the clinic, I saw some young man who was starting having allergies. I can't believe spring allergies are here. There's like 3 feet of snow and there's spring allergies. But he doesn't have spring allergies. He's from India and they don't occur in where he's from. But he does have them here, so he didn't quite realize what was happening to him. So it's good to have the antihistamine. Aspirins, acetaminophen or ibuprofen for pain. Antibiotic ointment is a good thing. If you need to take malaria pills, obviously bring your malaria pills and get a prescription before you leave. If you have going to be traveling to a country where the elevation is high, get your altitude sickness medication as well. If you take medication, so if you take the birth control pill, if you take some other kind of pills, make sure that you bring those in the original package or original bottle that you got them in. So don't do like the young lady who had all of her birth control pills and put them all into one little bottle and, you know, pop them all out of the little package one at a time and put them all in one little bottle. Because you know what? Those look like ecstasy in some countries. I used to work at the door at some parties, and believe me, they do. So that might be a bit of a problem when you enter a country and they say, what are these little pills? And you can't say ecstasy pills, but you can say birth control pills, and they say, uh-huh. But it's better if you carry the things and indicates. If you are a person who needs to use syringes, make sure that they are properly labeled, make sure that they are well packaged. If you want, you should also get a certificate, and most doctors will be able to give you a certificate saying that that's all right to carry. The other thing that's important is that when you go to the given country, you need to somewhat look at the laws, as mentioned. Because there are some over-the-counter medication that are illegal in other countries. They're legal here, but they're illegal in other countries. And in fact, I like to talk about drugs. But, you know, I was in the exotic country of Miami a few years ago, and I got a really bad cold, and I thought I should get myself some decongestant. So I went to the pharmacy, and I said, well, can you give me some blah, blah, blah decongestant? And they said, oh, no, you've got to ask the pharmacist. And I said, okay, fine. And then I went to the pharmacist, and he said, well, can I have your license number? Well, I have my license. I'll give you my license. Oh, no, it's got to be a Florida license, because we need to know where you live. Well, it turns out that the decongestant, of course, has pseudoephedrine. And why is pseudoephedrine a concern? So you don't know your drugs, guys. Because you can make methamphetamine from pseudoephedrine at home in your own lab. So they've got it really controlled in the United States for you. So you have to be careful. Not that it's illegal, but, you know, obviously, I had to suffer through my cold when here I could have just taken a decongestant. But it's important to find out because you may get yourself into trouble. Medical kit, and there's a whole list of things there for you to do. And you'll get the slides so you can look at what you need to get. And so it's a wise thing. The thing that I like to buy is sunscreen because I like to spend a lot of time on the beach if I can. Oh, no. No, I'm supposed to be presenting papers, sorry. Or studying, not a beach time. But remember, you know, don't spend your money on an SPF 550. 15 is about as high as they go reliably. anything higher than that is hogwash. So unless you want to, you know, be opaque and cover yourself with, I don't know, baby bottom paste, that will protect you from all sorts of things. Drugs, even though I talk a lot about them, they're a no-no. Just don't do those. Okay? And then be careful so that nobody slips them into your luggage thinking that you should be carrying them. You know, even a little pot can get you into trouble in some country, into a lot of trouble. And if you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, or queer, or questioning, it's not really the time when you're traveling in many of these countries to really question too much and to experiment too much. You should really look, and this is one of the way the Amnesty organization tells you where, in fact, it is could be illegal, it could lead to imprisonment, it could be lead to death. And so you should really check those sites so that you don't get yourself into trouble thinking that you're just having a little fun like you do at home, because it may not be a little fun. Deep vein thrombophlebitis, and that's just the blood clot in your legs. And why do we talk about that? Well, because you'll be sitting on a plane, because I'm sure none of you are going first class. How many of you are going first class? Oh, okay. We'll talk after. It's my dream to fly first class everywhere I go. But unfortunately, I fly economy. And when you're flying economy, you're sitting down, your legs are bent, and blood is very sluggish. What happens is then you develop blood clots, and those blood clots can then, you know, pop up to your brains. Now, the other place you can develop blood clots is in your in a hemorrhoid, and that sort of then ends up being a little painful to sit around for a while if you get a thrombose hemorrhoid, because people come in after they travel. When eating, make sure that you don't eat anything raw, and make sure that your bottle is water. Your water is bottled, and remember, if it's an ice cube, it's not in a bottle. Okay, so therefore, ice cubes are equally as bad. If you get diarrhea, remember to rehydrate. And these are ways in which you can rehydrate. If you have antibiotics and it's really bad, take the antibiotic. After taking your antibiotics you're not getting better, then you really need to seek medical advice, especially if it lasts more than a week, if there's blood or there's fever. Heat stroke, again, that can happen in any country that's warm, so wear loose clothing, make sure you protect yourself. And of course, if it's really hot where you can get heat stroke, then of course, you know, the sun protector comes back in, because you can get really burned, and that's uncomfortable. And it just doesn't look so pretty when you're walking around and your face is peeling. It's not very appealing. We've done rehydration. Altitude sickness, again, if you're going high, make sure you cover your medication. Malaria prophylaxis, not only is it medication, but it's also protecting yourself when you go to sleep. Make sure there's nets. Sex, don't have... No. Use condoms. Because if you have it, you can pick up a wonderful bunch of things, or you might get pregnant. That may be equally fun. So be protection. Mental health, and we are going to talk about culture shock. Remember, that is very important. I mean, I went to study in another very exotic place, New York, and spent 2 years there. Believe me, it was a culture shock. It was just not easy thinking, gee, first of all, it was just so hot in the summer and compared to Montreal, and I just didn't realize that. You know, in Montreal, we have cold for weeks on end. Well, there they have heat for weeks on end, and I just couldn't deal with that. And that sort of was just getting used to that. It was really hard in the first couple of weeks. I was just like overwhelmed by that. So you really get overwhelmed sometimes by the smallest little thing. You know, you walk out, you see the Empire State Building, and the wind is hot and it hits your face. You say, what is that? I've never experienced that before. Coming back, well, don't bring back anything you shouldn't. like an STI. You may not want to bring that back. But if you're coming back and you're not so well, make sure you see a doctor, especially if you've got diarrhea or stomach cramps, and those can develop a week or two after you come back. If you've had sex, get an STI check. If you have an unusual episode of fever, get that check. If you have unusual rashes, and you can have really unusual rashes, then get the, you haven't lived till you come in and you have like a thing, a boil like this, and then you look at it and the boil goes up and down. And you know what that's from? That's, if you're traveling in the Amazon, that's a fly called bot fly. And it sort of lays eggs under your skin, and then the larva develops, and it makes like a boil, and at the top, it comes out every now and then to breathe. And so you see this sort of popping thing, which looks like a cover that pops. It's easy to treat. What you do is you put Vaseline on the hole and the thing suffocates, but it's a bit freaky. So that's it. These are the websites we suggest for you. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I would have wanted to have some of that advice before I came, that's for sure. Although we don't have bugs and all that. But culture shock is real. It might not be a culture shock, it might be an adjustment. So if you see something like that on the street, you cannot even laugh, because it might be actually something that is normal. People might be eating waffles all the time in all kind of situations. You just smile and move on. Can't really do much about it. You might have worries about your place that you're going to. You might not realize it. You might realize it when you're there. Culture shock doesn't mean it's you're going to be shocked by something. It just means that you have a lot of stuff to adjust to all at once. And you might not have all the support that you think you have. So essentially, before you go, do your homework. Political situations, just try to learn a little bit about the country so you don't freak out too much when you get there. That's kind of the whole idea. So living conditions, cultural norms, really simple in essence, but it just talks about a lot of things. I know a friend in Sweden went to Sweden and was shocked to realize that people, when they walk into a place and there are a lot of friends, the seating, there's a seating order that the couples, for instance, can't sit together. They have to be seated in a certain way, and it freaked that person out a little bit because they weren't sure where to sit, right? It doesn't have to be a big thing. It might be a little adjustment. It might be the way you cross the street, right? I knew I got a culture shock here when I had to cross the street at one point on the street, because in Egypt, we don't do that. So why would we wait for a signal to cross the street? Things, little things like that, right? Just read about your country, know about the experience from other people, and know which languages are spoken, right? Minimum kind of basic requirements. And check that website to see if there's anything, they might have extra bits and pieces about your specific country. Okay, what else do we do? Okay, there we go. Be sure, whatever you prepare, I know I've said the word prepared about a couple of times now, but you will get stuff happening when you get there. So when you get there, you'll be, oh my good God, what have I had done to myself? Because you might feel that there's some sort of miscommunication, misunderstanding. You might feel lost or just stressed. Those are actual reasons, by the way. I didn't make that up. Those are actual reasons of students, Canadian students, who came back from study abroad country, study abroad programs all over. I think that report was for last year. So these are real people saying what they've been through when they traveled abroad. Some of them actually said difficulty to integrate with the community, right? They felt like they were outsiders, perception of foreignness, difficulty associating with Westerners, which might seem odd, but you might just feel that you're not exactly fitting anywhere. You can't fit with the locals, you can't fit with the people that are just arrived, and it just feels awkward. Absence of basic amnesty, so if you're going to Europe, maybe that wouldn't apply, but maybe it would. Yeah, I don't know. And just frustrations about how local things work. So like I said, I had trouble crossing the street. Or I had trouble, for instance, simply because, when I saw a pet coming my way, I would cross the street because I didn't know what to do when I had a dog or a cat coming my way. What do I do? No one told me. We don't have cats and dogs in the family, so I didn't know what to do. So I simply crossed the street every time I saw a dog or a cat come my way because I didn't know what else to do. Am I supposed to pat? Am I supposed to walk on the other side? I just didn't know. So, I mean, bit by bit, you get to learn those things. But it was a little thing that kept clicking every time I walked the street. The only good advice that I can give is take it one thing at a time and do not over-exaggerate anything that happens. Right? Put everything back in perspective. Nothing really is the end of the universe, like my dad once said. But more importantly, show respect to the people around you, no matter how bizarre it is that you're seeing around you. There must be a reason, there must be a culture, and that's essentially maybe something that you're learning through the way. It is a learning experience, right? So just take it in and breathe. And if at all in doubt, smile. Just smile. And thank you. Thank you always works. International note for thank you. It always works. And smile. And ask a question. But be very respectful about how you your answer could be seen differently, right? So, quick, because we're really out of time, but I have to say this thing. The fact that I'm here in sneakers, I'm not sure if you guys can see, but I'm actually here in sneakers. I would have never done that 7 years ago. Because we don't do, sneakers has a cultural, there's a reason behind, people here are casual, but back there, if I wear sneakers, that's a totally different meaning. I cannot walk into certain restaurants, I cannot walk in certain places if I wear sneakers. So there's a little cultural thing, just be aware of it. But just take it in and smile and learn about it and maybe write a biography or write some notes. And most importantly, stay connected. Talk to your family. And I forgot to mention, we do have the McGill app. Yeah, McGill app and the travel app. So make sure you get the information and get enough support. It's bizarre how a little phone call from a friend or a Facebook group, and you feel like, okay, I can do this. I have enough energy. I'm not totally lost here. Okay, this is an actual quote of a person coming, of a Canadian student coming back, and that person said, I didn't experience a culture shock when I was there. I experienced it when I came back home to Canada. It was a lot to deal with, and I felt like a stranger. So when you come back, you might feel like you don't fit anymore. What has happened? Why are the models? Why are things change on you? So be aware. I'm not saying I really can't give you any. I can't help you with that. But most important thing is take it one thing at a time and don't over exaggerate anything, and find help and find support. Okay, and you'll realize bit by bit that things have change to the better after you come back. You'll realize a little bit maybe the idea, the culture, what it means to be Canadian, what it means to be from Montreal. And you might be a little, you'll change your life a little bit. You might be more interested in volunteering or doing international work or meeting some new friends or understanding something about the world a little differently. So I'll end up with that, and if you have any questions, please let us know.